Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, welcome back to the second hour, dear Blood River Radio people, Blood River Radio family. This is Eddie the Bombardier Miller, you know, Blood River Radio. And we had a great hour. I really enjoyed it. We had to let the Alabama Coon Hunter go. We picked up the Bitter Ender. He's not just a Bitter Ender. He is the Bitter Ender. And we also have my baby sister, Miss Monica Schaefer, Miss Braveheart Monica Schaefer, my precious baby sister. They're coming on tonight. And we had a whole new little agenda. And we also, as you know, we kept Miss Nancy over, my big sister. And Miss Nancy is going to have a little conversation with Miss Braveheart. And then we're going to she's going to do a great article that she has. And then Gene will, he's going to talk about Dead Yankee Day. Or you might want to say, I kind of like Confederate Marksmanship Day. So anyway, take it away, Miss Monica. Tell us what we're going to do tonight.
Well, while we still have Nancy Hitt on the air, I just wanted to connect her with my brother Alfred Schaefer, who is still in jail, not for long anymore, maybe another 5 weeks or so, 6 weeks till July 4th, Independence Day. He likes the symbolism of that, even if some of us might be skeptical of what that Independence Day actually means. But anyway, aside from that, Alfred, he has this butterfly meme that he has been using for, quite a while now. He finishes all his letters with this little conversation between these smart little butterflies that have these thought bubbles, and they're really a lot smarter than some of the humans that we're dealing with. And Nancy had a part in that. It was a couple of years ago already that there was a series of events that led to this butterfly meme. Alfred had a dream about the butterfly coming out of its cocoon at the same time that there was some missing mail from his wife. Then he had a visit from her, and she said that the magnifying little glass that she was sending, that it was sent with a postcard of a butterfly, and of course he didn't get that because they didn't allow that into the jail. His eyesight is not the best, so he wanted one of these little magnifying lenses. And then there was something else. It's something to do with an Edelweiss from a guy who had a website called Jews for Hitler. Anyway, all these things happened, and then a card came from Nancy Hitt to Alfred into the jail, and it was... The card had a dog with a butterfly landing on its nose, and the butterfly thought bubble just said, "It's just me." And so this was all sort of this telepathic stuff going on where nobody knew one of the other, and it just blew his mind. He was just absolutely thrilled because really the butterfly coming from the caterpillar who does nothing but eat, crawl, and poop, then it has this insatiable urge to cocoon itself. And then he draws this, he did draw this in his letters at that time with the bars of the jail cell, the little worm or the caterpillar behind the bars of the jail cell. And then out comes this beautiful butterfly and it's flying free. And that's very symbolic of us when we free ourselves of these lies and that we are, you know, that are just weighing us down and making us ill, actually. So Nancy had a part in that. So Nancy, do you want to add anything about it? You were rereading go ahead.
Yeah, I'm looking at letters from you and also from Alfred, and one of them, I think this is kind of clarifies, it was December of 2019 when I got a letter from him, and he said, "These are extremely exciting times. The timing of your 'It's Just Me' butterfly card was the closing act of something I now call the butterfly miracle." And he goes on, of course, within the letter, and he said, he was talking about Only days later, your It's Just Me card arrived. Meme completed. Your It's Just Me card arrived, and no, I'm not on drugs. This blew my mind and gives me more hope and energy than you can imagine. Of course, he's talking about how this little larva is just eating and eating and eating, and then he draws a picture at the bottom of a transformation that could be some of us, maybe some people who are listening, a transformation. And then he shows this butterfly that he drew. It says, no more crawling and no more crawling. And anyway, now I understand it better because he's really comparing it to people whose eyes have finally been opened. Of course, his probably opened a long time ago. But he puts in here some of the nasty things that have been said about us. Here's a quote, the best of the goyim, that's us, deserve to be slaughtered. And then Susan Sontag said, the white race is the cancer of humanity. These are the people who are caring about us. No, these are the people who want to eliminate us. And he writes some very nice things about you, Monica. He says, you can't imagine how happy I am with Monica, what she has been able to accomplish. She is a miracle. So you may be the butterfly miracle, Monica, because you've really put yourself out there and really exposed yourself and really done a lot of daring work to tell the truth about what we think is the facts that need to be covered up by the media and the police and the jails. And you know, we're saying things that are to be unspoken, to be only said in secret, I guess. But anyway, that's kind of what he was getting at, I think.
Well, thank you, Nancy, for that. You know, well, that's very moving. Alfred and I actually, I think that the two of us, one without the other, would not have been able to do nearly what we have been able to do. And I mean, some people who are not of our viewpoint think that's, you know, what are you talking about? You've just done bad things, gone to jail. See, it's proven. They proved that you're bad. You went to jail. That's what people used to tell me in Jasper, my old hometown.
Oh, sure.
See,
of
she's
course.
A proven yeah. criminal. She went to jail. But you know, we do strengthen each other, and I am ever so grateful for that. We're a team, and it's more than one plus one. You know, it's a multiplier effect. And Alfred talks about that in general, about how we inspire each other. It is so important that we network, we work together, because we are more than just one plus one plus one plus one. We make the multiplier effect. You know, just talking mm-hmm. with you folks on the radio show, this is a multiplier effect for us and for a hope for the
right.
listeners as well.
Here's something briefly which he said, and if any of your... Sorry. If any of your friends, I'm sorry, I lost the place where he was stating something, are still crawling, in other words, they're still got their rose-colored glasses on, go and tell them, it's just me. You are now a patriotic butterfly. Okay. Time to close this letter and tell Monica that everything is perfect. Things are moving at a breathtaking speed. Well, Alfred is a very lighthearted prisoner. He's a prisoner who has taken his medicine, and he is not showing any bad effects from it. At least he's trying very hard to be positive.
Yeah.
You know, I'd like to say one thing.
Go ahead.
What amazes me, Miss Monica, my baby sister, Miss Braveheart, I think she is the only rehabilitated libtard I have ever met. I've heard that it happens, but it's very rare. But tell them briefly about, if we have time, we're almost coming up against the break. But if it's appropriate, if you want to, tell them how you are a recovered libtard.
Myself? Or who are you talking about
you
now?
You used to be a libtard.
Oh, I was totally a libtard. I hate to say it. I mean, I was a greenie, and that's not to say that caring for the environment is not what I do anymore. No, it's just that the Green Party, which I was a member of and I ran as a candidate several times for, they are the watermelon party. They're actually the communist party. They're green on the outside, red on the inside. You know, everything is inverted. And so you're right. I was a libtard. I used to be judgmental of you folks down there with your guns and all that. And I, all those things that now I realize that they were in, you know, well, like Ran said in the first hour there with the television and the programming, not that I never even had a TV ever since I was left home as an adult, but still the mainstream media, all the conditioning and programming, it gets to us through other means, not just the television box. And I believed all that stuff they told us, you know, from everything from climate change to, you know, we're responsible for a lot of the evils of the world and all those things. So then when I woke up about stuff, okay, it didn't happen overnight. It had to peel a lot of layers of the onions off. And I realized everything's inverted. Everything is inverted. Mm-hmm. And actually, that came to mind when Nancy was in the first hour giving the book review, because, and I can't remember now, it was something about
Sister Monica, in case you can't hear, we're up against a break. We have to go to our first break. Miss Nancy, thank you so much for hanging out. We'll shift over to Miss Monica, my little sister, and we'll bring Gene Andrews in. But thank you so much, Miss Nancy.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Okay, listen up, people. I'm beating the bushes for a few good men. I don't want you boys the alt-right. I want the hardcore of the hard-right. And I need you front and center, boots on the ground, at a minute's notice, in the streets, and I need your money. You know the problem that the whites of the world face. It's the all-too-real threat of global extermination. And you know what's going on in South Africa and Western Europe. And unless you're semi-comatose, you've already seen the first stages of white genocide unfolding in our country. Our culture is under constant full-scale attack by our enemy. The enemy never sleeps. They spend day and night wrecking the monuments and the graves of our beloved kin. They attack us physically everywhere we go. They've already taken the linen and our stone. Now they're coming after our flesh. And if you're not too squeamish, if you want to be part of the number one white advocacy group and the number one white civil defense group in the United States, then contact Eddie Bombardier Miller at BloodRiverRadio.com. And please, please donate. And God knows you need us as much as we need you. Thank you.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Well, folks, welcome back to the second segment of the second hour of Blood River Radio. We're going to go right back to Miss Braveheart Monica Schaefer. And as you know, we picked up Gene, the Bitter Ender Andrews. So they're going to finish out the rest of the show tonight. We let Miss Nancy go. I'm sure she's still listening. But anyway, continue on, Miss Monica, if you will.
Well, just before we go on to the next topic, and that is something that Gene is going to talk about, the origins of Memorial Day, I just wanted to finish out a little bit about Alfred's letters here. And you had sent us an interesting article on hate, and that we must not hate cockroaches and rats and these kinds of things. And just by coincidence, you could say, or maybe it's this telepathic stuff that's going on quite often, Alfred wrote about hate in his last letter here that I just published. He says, we must not hate the skunks or drooling dogs. And just some background on that, earlier in the letter, he was talking about those among our people who have been duped into becoming agents of our own destruction. Okay, so we're talking about traitors, or we're talking about people who have been so contaminated by the lies that they either knowingly or unknowingly are working against ourselves, our race. Anyway, he says, we must not hate the skunks or drooling dogs. To hate them would elevate them to the human level. You don't hate hookworms or tapeworms. You avoid allowing them to ruin your life, but you don't hate them. You also don't hate an Olympic runner for hobbling on crutches because of a broken leg. You don't say, I hate you because you can't run. He is temporarily sick, and you help him to overcome his condition. Also, many skunks in one room will all think they smell just fine, but for a human to enter that room is unbearable. As this awakening progresses, the skunks will find that wherever they go, people seem to quickly excuse themselves and leave. Skunks, like Justin Castro Trudeau, that's our infamous leader Trudeau, or that Morkill follow-up Schulze, that's in Germany, Morkill, that's Merkel, they get booed out any time they are seen amongst normal people. Very soon, it is to be expected that they will end like Ceausescu of Romania some 30 years ago. They were like king and queen, and you saw them on TV every day, like that piano-playing penis Zelensky today, and then they were both shot dead and everyone was happy. Zelensky's bags of money and cocaine won't help him from getting that 9-gram lead treatment. I do not hate skunks. I do not hate drooling dogs. I do not hate cockroaches or spiders or rats or rain or pain. It is pain that motivates us to quickly drop a hot pot that we try to pick up, and this pain prevents serious injury. I'll pause there and hand it over to Jean, if you want to comment, and then carry on with the Memorial Day discussion. But that was out of Alfred's letters, and yeah, we'll move on from that. Thank you so much for letting me read that.
Oh, that was great, Monica. That really was. That room full of skunk comparisons, and they think they smell just fine. Oh, that is a classic. I've got to remember that. Keep that one written down. I've been thrown into a room full of skunks a lot of times, and good, and thought about climbing out through a window or anything to get out of there. So I don't get along with a lot of the skunk people on the lunatic left. So that is a great comparison. That's a good one to come up with that. So glad that you could relate those letters to us and give us that information. It's amazing that Alfred has such an upbeat attitude about all he's had to go through and the injustice that has been put upon him, and injustice of all of these people that simply state facts and then they're thrown in jail. And you have to look at this hula hoax business and say, how can they claim this is real if you have to arrest people for stating factual information about it? That to me has always been the number one clue or number one piece of factual information that says it isn't true. You do not have to arrest people for telling the truth, but when you start arresting people because they don't believe a lie, then the lie starts to have a lot of holes in it. And that to me is the item or the issue that really draws this thing down and throws it into the room with all the skunks, that you just don't arrest people.
Yeah, I agree. And actually, if I could talk about just a couple more things before we do go on to the Memorial Day discussion, because this is getting more and more insane with the laws against so-called Holocaust denial, which is a misnomer in and of itself. You can't deny something that didn't happen. It's just a semantical it's crazy words. Anyway, in Canada, this is before the Senate, this new Holocaust denial bill. They're actually making adjustments to our criminal code to make Holocaust denial against the law. And B'nai B'rith Canada, they chime in and they've given their advice to the Senate. And they've said they want some changes made, you know, adjustments made to this thing that's about to be passed, I think, as far as I can see. They say, you know, use the word distortion rather than downplaying. It's more precise. And they want to remove the ability for anyone to use defense of truth against the charges, since the facts around the Holocaust are well established and well documented. And in Ernst Zundel's retrial, the court took judicial notice that the Holocaust existed. Allowing a defense of truth would be a step backwards. So this is absolutely insane. They want to actually enshrine it written in law that defense of truth cannot be used. I mean, can you believe that?
Yes, I can believe that, because the governments of the West have gone absolutely crazy. You would think this was something that came out of the Soviet Union or Communist China or something like that. But the Western governments in Germany and France and the United States and Canada have all bought into this nonsense because they've been under pressure, and money pressure. It makes a politician's knees just turn to jello and they collapse, and they'll vote for anything if there's enough money thrown at them or enough pressure put on by businesses or something like that. And the Jewish lobby is very powerful. It's very, very well funded, and they can get almost any kind of law at all passed. And they, you know, they could pass a law that says the grass is blue and the sky is green. And with enough money, you could get that law passed. And anybody that disagrees with that, that goes out and pulls up a handful of grass and says, well, it looks green to me. Well, he's denying the law. Throw him in jail. So truth has nothing to do with it. It's all about power and money and intimidating people so they don't question Caesar and the imperial empire. And that's just the way it's going to be. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago. They passed a thing in the Tennessee legislature that's the first step in this. They passed a well, I guess it wasn't exactly a law, but it's a part of the high school that says that people have a right to complain about anti-Semitism, and the high school district has to investigate it. Well, they never define what anti-Semitism is. So that's an open door that you could question the Holocaust, the Holocaust or whatever, and they could claim that's anti-Semitism, and you could be investigated for that if that was allowed to be even mentioned in your classroom in grades kindergarten through the 12th grade. So this is just the first step. And we talked about that, about the old story about the camel sticking his nose in the tent. Before you know it, the whole camel's in the tent, and you're pushed out of the tent. So I think this is what we're headed toward.
Yeah, their laws about these, you know, forbidden things that you're not allowed to talk about are purposefully vague so that they can interpret it how they like to interpret it. In Germany, the Holocaust denial law does not actually have the word Holocaust in it at all. So it's quite vague. They don't define what you can or cannot say. They don't define what crime that you're, you know, they don't define the Holocaust. They don't say, you know, how many died, what were the murder weapons, where did it take place. They don't say any of those things on purpose so that they can just use the law against you whatever way they want. And just a reminder, at the end of Ernst Zundel's trial in Germany, the judge actually said, it does not matter if the Holocaust took place or not. What matters is that it is against the law to deny it, and you broke the law.
Well, people, it looks like we got to go to a quick break. I pulled up an article I was researching that Gene mentioned. We'll bring up that article as soon as we come back from this break. Hang on, people.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
Former President Trump at the NRA convention in Houston on Friday dismissed calls for more gun control in the wake of the school shooting in Uvalde, Texas. He joined Texas Senator Ted Cruz and others in advocating for the opposite.
The existence of evil in our world is not a reason to disarm law-abiding citizens who know how to use their weapon and can protect a lot of people. The existence of evil is one of the very best reasons to arm law-abiding citizens.
Trump also advocated for stronger security measures for schools, such as a single entry point, strong fencing, and metal detectors. But the Uvalde School District's safety plan have several measures in place already, such as police officers and software to monitor threats and screen visitors. A recount is underway in the GOP primary for U.S. Senate in Pennsylvania. Dr. Mehmet Oz and Dave McCormick are barely separated by 900 votes. USA Radio News.
Paid for by GovMint.com.
Have you heard? The United States Mint has issued the Morgan Silver Dollar for the first time in 100 years. Not only that, but they are also minted in 99.9% pure silver for the first time ever in history. Coin experts are calling this an amazing opportunity for anyone that knows the enduring popularity of Morgans. But you must hurry. Only 175,000 legal tender silver dollars were issued. These Morgan Silver Dollars are brand new, bright and shiny legal tender coins minted by the iconic Philadelphia Mint. Just call 1-800-888-7630 and you are guaranteed a new 99.9% pure silver Morgan dollar. The first time in history this has happened. But with limited quantities, you must call now to order. To learn more, call 1-800-888-7630. If you order now, you will receive a free collector bonus, a $25 value free with every order. Call 1-800-888-7630 now to secure your new Morgan silver dollars before they are gone. That's 1-800-888-7630.
Federal jurors in Washington will deliberate the fate of lawyer Michael Sussman Tuesday. He's accused of lying to the FBI about whether he was working on behalf of a client who has ties to the Democratic Party when he brought the Bureau allegations about questionable links between a Russian bank and the Trump Organization before the 2016 campaign. Prosecutors say Sussman wanted to use the FBI and major news outlets to deliver an October surprise that would have gave the election to Hillary Clinton. A settlement has been reached with families who lost relatives in last year's collapse of a Surfside, Florida condominium tower that killed 98 people. The $1.02 billion settlement to end litigation over the Champlain Tower South tragedy now awaits approval by a judge. This week was a winner for Wall Street. In fact, the first one for a while. The Dow closed up 1,951 points. The NASDAQ was up 777 points. The S&P 500 added 257 points. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Hello, dear people. Thank you so much for holding on. We're going right back to Gene now. Gene is going to talk about what me and Gene, the Rural Southern Boys, we like to talk about Dead Yankee Day. Or maybe even better, it might be better, Southern Marksmanship Memorial Day. Go ahead, Gene. Tell us all about Memorial Day.
That kind of sounds irreverent, but at a time it was. What we were talking about is the origin of the holiday that we celebrate this weekend, which is Memorial Day. And it actually started out in the South. It started as Confederate Decoration Day, and the women of the South was destroyed after the war, not just the military and industrial areas, but the civilian population, farms, farm homes were burned, barns, farm equipment was deliberately destroyed, the wells were poisoned, the Federal Army would come in and they'd clean out the stables and dump manure in the wells, which poisons the water and you get cholera from that. So they would take the salt out of the smokehouses and distribute it across the fields, which would render the fields unusable for agriculture. So it was a war against civilians. And we're talking about how terrible the Russians are in this war against the civilians in the Ukraine, but that was nothing compared to what the Northern government and Lincoln did to the civilians in the South. So the people of the South were destitute after the war. They had no money for memorials and things like that. So the ladies started picking flowers that were becoming in bloom in April. And 1866, they started putting, well, actually before that, when there were graves, they would put these flowers on the graves of the Confederate soldiers that had given their life for the defense of their country. And so in 1866, Confederate Veteran Magazine stated that a Mrs. Charles J. Williams of Columbus, Georgia, who was wife of a Major C.J. Williams of the 1st Georgia Regiment, Army of Northern Virginia, had started a campaign to get other southern states to recognize a date that they were going to officially decorate the graves of the Confederate dead. And so they picked April 26th as a Confederate Decoration Day to have that all over the South. They felt like the most flowers in the South were in bloom about that time of the year. And plus, that was the date that Joseph E. Johnston surrendered the Army of Tennessee in North Carolina. So that was more or less the official end of the war. And Lee had surrendered on April 9th, and then the other major Confederate army, the Army of Tennessee, surrendered on April 26th. So that's what they picked as the date for Confederate Decoration Day. Now, Mrs. Williams died on April 15th in 1874, and she was buried with a full military honors because of what she started. And the honors then were directed to have flowers placed on the graves and memorial services for over 260,000 Confederate soldiers who had died in the war for Southern independence. Now, how did it become U.S. Memorial Day? Well, 2 years later, the head of the Grand Army of the Republic, which is sort of a soldiers organization in the South, it was the United Confederate Veterans, were the survivors and the veterans. In the North, it was the Grand Army of the Republic, and it was headed up by John Logan, who had been a general in the Union Army during the war. He was the national commander, and so they picked May 5th in 1868, 2 years later, to decorate the graves of the Union and Confederate dead at Arlington Cemetery. And, of course, Arlington Cemetery was the home of Arlington House for the Robert E. Lee family prior to the war. And that land had been stolen during the war, and they deliberately put graves as close to the house as they possibly could so no one would ever want to live there again. It was a slap in the face to Robert E. Lee. And like I said, so he would never go back there, and he never did. And, you know, it's quite an honor to be buried in Arlington Cemetery today, but I would never want to be there, buried there, even though as a veteran I could be buried for free there. But to me, it's still an insult to Robert E. Lee. So anyway, Logan gave a speech in Salem, Illinois in 1868. He said, and this is really conciliatory, he said, and I quote, "The traitors in the South have their gatherings to strew garlands of flowers on the graves of the dead rebel soldiers." Well, that's really nice. So they finally got it set for having the last, or the 30th of May, as Union Soldiers Memorial Day. And it's been that way. I can remember as a small boy, my mother telling us, no, we don't celebrate Memorial Day. That's a Northern holiday. And it wasn't celebrated in the South. There were no Memorial Day services in the South that I could remember till probably in the 70s or 80s. Then after World War I, a law was passed to make that Memorial Day honor all the war veterans, not just the Union soldiers during the war to crush Southern independence. And in 1971, Congress passed an act to make it a national holiday on the last Monday in May. And they bunched a lot of holidays together on Monday so that we get that three-day weekend. So, like I said, it was never celebrated in the South until the 1970s. And then we always made fun of it in high school, called it Dead Yankee Day or a Memorial to Confederate Marksmanship Day. So since it was a Northern holiday, and I never like I said, up until the 80s, I never heard of any kind of Memorial Day service in the South. I mean, we knew the Indianapolis 500 was run on Memorial Day, and it used to be always the 30th of May, whatever day it fell on. They had the race on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, whatever it was. And now they have that on Sunday, and they have Memorial Day as a backup day in case it's raining on Sunday. But, of course, in the South, the Indianapolis 500 wasn't that big a deal. It was always the Charlotte World 600 on that's that right. weekend that the big race on that
weekend.
And they had another one up there at Indianapolis, but that didn't really count for anything. So it was interesting how the two started of a Decoration Day starting in the South and then being picked up by this John Logan. And one reason he wanted to do that, and his wife was really pushing him for that, she was pushing him to run for president on the Republican Party ticket. And that's one of the reasons he put up a lot of the money to have these artists paint this huge painting of the cyclorama of the Battle of Nashville. And that canvas is like 40 feet high, and I've forgotten the dimensions of the circular painting of that. But there are very few Confederates in that painting. If you've ever seen it, they're around that brick house, the Troop Hurt House, and some over to the left of that. And it was actually the Battle of Atlanta. I think it was the 22nd of July, but it was out towards Decatur where it was actually fought. And most of, I'd say 95% of the soldiers in the painting are the Union soldiers. And then John Logan is painted in that picture, mounted on a horse up on a hill and surveying the battlefield, when actually his division was caught napping and overrun by the Confederates in the early morning, that attack. And by the late afternoon, it had stalled out and reinforcements had been brought in. And that was another defeat of Hood's attempt to break the siege of Atlanta. But it was it's always tickled me that John Logan, who got overrun that morning, is painted as the hero in this giant painting of the cyclorama of the Battle of Atlanta. But once again, that was his attempt at his campaign to get his name out there and help his presidential aspirations. So since we are celebrating the Memorial Day weekend, and now it does honor the soldiers that lost their lives in all of our wars, not just the war to crush Southern independence, but the First World War, Second Vietnam, and Afghanistan, and Iraq, and all of them, which is good. We need to do that, certainly. But the history of it and how it was split into two parts in the country is really the factual information about how that got started. Now, in Tennessee, and it's not the same date in all the South, we still celebrate Confederate Memorial Day in a lot of the Southern states, and a lot of them still have it on the 26th of April or a Saturday close to the 26th of April. But in Tennessee and a few other of the other states, it's celebrated on June the 3rd, which was Jefferson Davis's birthday, and we always celebrate it on the Saturday closest to the 3rd of June and have a memorial service to honor the Confederate soldiers that laid down their life in the defense of our country to try to win our independence. So I hope that will give our listeners a little background information while they're out barbecuing and grilling hot dogs and enjoying the weekend, and understand where all of the Memorial Day services came from and the history behind that date that we have. So I think that will give our listeners a little bit of information there, Eddie.
You certainly do. Gene, I tell you what, we have several listeners. In fact, one of our very biggest supporter, you're his favorite guest, and he always loves to hear you talk about history, especially Confederate history. And I know of no one, and I'm just saying it because you're one of our on this show. I know of no one that has a better grasp of history than you. People, hold on. We've got to go back to our last break. And I think Miss Monica wants to talk about some Canadian holidays up there when we come back. Be right back, folks.
There has been no evidence of widespread voter fraud.
The 2020 elections were one of the most corrupt in history. See the proof for yourself.
We tracked 2,000 mules making multiple ballot drops.
2,000 mules. The shocking new movie from Dinesh D'Souza.
One mule made 53 trips to 20 drop boxes.
2,000 mules. Join the special virtual premiere and Q&A on May 7th. Get your tickets now. Available only at 2000mules.com. 2000mules.com. Sponsored by Salem Media Group.
Blood River Radio is the only news media in the United States whose sole purpose of being is to fight against the ever-rising tide of global white genocide, both soft and hard genocide, whether it is in the form of ethnic cleansing via the current massive invasion of non-white, non-Christian hordes that are overwhelming the once all-white nations of Western Europe, the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the United States, or via the hard genocide in South Africa, where the rape, murder, and torture of whites is an ongoing daily occurrence. Though we are a Christian brotherhood, we will cooperate with other groups in our operations if it will shorten our people's casualty list. We further pledge to you to leave the radio studio at every opportunity and take it to our churches, to our universities, and most importantly, we promise to occupy the streets. However, none of our mission can succeed without funding. Please help us all that you can and donate to our cause by going to www.bloodriverradio.com.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Well, dear Blood River Radio family, this show is really flying. We're going to go right back to Gene, but first of all, I got to make an announcement. Next week's show will be recorded. I will not be going down to the League of the South meeting in Florida because we won't be able to record that day. Sam and his entire staff are going to be on holiday. There will be nobody in the studio, so we won't be able to record. So I just want to let you know we will have a show, but it's going to be pre-recorded. Just to let you know that. So because I forgot to say that early in the show, so please forgive me, people. My poor old 75-year-old memory. But anyway, Gene, you were telling some fascinating story, as you always do, before we went during the news break. We were talking amongst ourselves. So go ahead, tell the audience about that, Gene, if you don't mind, brother.
Well, there were some news snippets on the online news that we saw. And, of course, most of it was overwhelmed by the shooting down in Texas and so forth. And Sleepy Joe's calling for gun bans again. They always do that every time something happens. They never let a good crisis go to waste. But one of the things that came up, the Department of Defense has received all of these names that they're going to put on our Army bases, our military bases. They're going to get rid of all the Confederate names, Fort Bragg, Fort Benning, Fort Polk, Fort Lee, Fort Jackson. All of those are going to be gone, and they're going to name these bases. The recommendation is they're going to name these bases out of a bunch of clowns that we've never heard of before, had practically no military experience at all, but they exemplify the diversity in America. So that's a good reason. Now, they talk about how they want to get rid of these Confederate names of these bases because they were traitors. They fought against, they were in the United States Army, but then they turned around when the South was invaded and they fought against the United States government. Well, the people that are broadcasting that organic bull fertilizer really don't know the definition of a traitor. Now, if people like Lee, Robert E. Lee and Thomas Jackson and James Longstreet and Jeb Stuart and Braxton Bragg and all these people that these bases are named for, they were named for them. Yes, they were Confederates, but they also served in the United States Army prior to the war. They were officers in the United States Army, and some of them had outstanding careers, or most of them had outstanding careers. General Winfield Scott said that the best officer in the war against Mexico in the 1840s was a captain and later major, Robert E. Lee. And he unequivocally said that Lee was the best officer that served in the Mexican War. So they had a long career of service in the United States Army. And then when the southern states left, they went with their states. Now, they weren't traitors because they resigned their commission. And the people that are talking about them being traitors, and even that clown Milley or whatever his name is, that's the Joint Chiefs of Staff, was saying that. He doesn't know about much about the rules and regs of his own military. Once an officer serves his initial time requirement, he is not bound to be in the service any longer. He can resign by just turning in his letter of resigning. When he turns in his letter, that's effective from that date forward. So and it's a little different for an enlisted man. He signs up for a 3-year term, and then he may re-up for 5 years or, you know, another 3 years or whatever. He has to serve up that time commitment. But an officer is completely different. Once he serves that initial time period to repay whatever it costs to train him at West Point or the Citadel or wherever he went for his military training or Annapolis, that's it. He can turn in his letter of resignation on any date, and immediately he is out. So that's what these officers did. Now, if they had stayed in the United States Army and worn the blue uniform, and while they were still in the United States Army, fought against the United States government, yes, that would be a traitor. But they didn't do that. They resigned from the United States Army. They went back to their home state. They offered their service to their state first, and then their state militia or whatever it was incorporated into the military of the Confederate States of America, and they served the Confederate States of America, which at that time was their country. So this nonsense that we keep hearing on TV about, well, we don't want bases named after traitors, rah, 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 rah. Well, they weren't traitors. As long as they wore the blue uniform, they served and laid their life on the line for the United States government. It was after the United States government invaded their home state that they resigned and left the United States military and went back to their home state. So we want to get that clarified a little bit. And somebody asked me the other day about this news article, and they said, well, what do you think of that, that they're going to rename all of these bases all over the country? I said, well, I think it's great. I don't think they ought to have Confederate names. I'm saying I hope this will be the lightning bolt across the dark sky that wakes up Southerners to the fact that these people in Washington and in the Pentagon and the Department of Defense hate us. And why would we want to risk our life for a government that hates us and has no respect for us, for our history, for our heritage? And maybe this will stop some of these Southern boys from enlisting or volunteering and lay their life on the line for a government that has no use for us and doesn't want us to have any part of their military industrial complex. So I said, I think it's great. It's what we've known all along. But now this, to me, this is the final slap in the face that maybe will wake up Southerners and say, fine, you don't want to disrespect us, we won't serve. Because through all the wars, since our war for Southern independence, Southerners have volunteered and enlisted at a much higher ratio than the northern states. Now, the northern states had more, but they had more people. But the percentage of the states in the South that sent volunteers to fight in World War I, in World War II, in Vietnam, in Korea, in Afghanistan, in Iraq, and all of these other wars of imperialism that the United States fought, it's the Southerners that had the highest percentage from their states that were volunteering to serve. And it's just, to me, it's the final straw to say, you know, we're hated by Washington. They hate us because we're Southerners. They hate our history. They hate us because we're Christians. They hate us because we're conservatives. Why would we want to go out and volunteer to lay our life on the line for a country that has absolutely no respect for us and wants to insult us every chance they get? So that's my take on it, Eddie. And I know you served in the military as well. You may have a totally different opinion than that, and I always respect your opinion. I'm not saying you have to agree with me just because I said that. We're Southerners. We don't do that.
Well, I tell you, Brother Gene, I agree with you wholeheartedly. If anything, I might even be more radical to you because I can't stand the sight of that bloody Yankee flag. But with that, I think Miss Monica wants to come in and comment on what you just got through saying, Gene.
Yeah.
Oh, please
thanks.
Take it, Monica.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm speaking from somebody who really only very recently is just starting to learn a little bit about the history of the United States, you know, from a truth perspective, not that what we learned in school, which I can tell you, it's, I guess, probably the second most lied about event. And the first would be, you know, the hallowed hoax in Germany, and then the whole picture and the narrative, and the fact that it took till the 70s to even just, you know, acknowledge that, gee, the Southerners might want to have some kind of a Memorial Day too. I mean, this, the hatred against the South, it even extends as far as Canada. The hatred against the Confederate flag, for instance, it came up during the truckers' convoy recently. You know, they had some comment, oh, that evil Confederate flag showed up there. I mean, it was all just props. It was planted provocateurs anyway that had these flags there just so that they could report on that in the mainstream media. And the lies, like, it is just astounding, actually, that how... Well, I don't know. That's all I wanted to say, just from a perspective of somebody who, you know, just had this image of the American South that, you know, well, it was really just such a pile of lies, just like we got the image about the Germans being these evil Nazis, you know, this evil group
exactly.
of people. And same thing, isn't it?
It's
oh,
exactly
yes.
the same
Absolutely.
Thing.
It is. And the more I've studied now and read about Germany and Chancellor Hitler's numerous attempts to try to get some kind of peace settlement with the British and get out of the war and not have a war. And the only reason he went into Poland was to try to rescue the German people there that were being murdered and persecuted by the Poles. And, of course, they'd cut a deal with the British and the French to say, yeah, you provoke something and get Germany to invade Poland, that's the only thing we need to declare war against Germany, and we're going to. And Churchill did that on his own. And to think we had a war that cost the life of millions of people just to appease some drunken bum that was head of the British government, that is just absolutely disgusting right there, when it could have been avoided. But Germany was an economic power, and the British weren't about to let Germany have the economic power on the continent of Europe that they were True. Building toward. So, you know, it's a lie against the South. It's a lie against Germany. It's a lie against, you know, anybody that steps in the way of the Yankee imperial empire. It's like the Romans just crushing anybody that got in their way around the Mediterranean Sea. And the reason that they persecuted the first century Christians, they wouldn't fall down and worship Caesar or the government or the state or whatever you want to call it. They felt there was a higher calling to worship a higher deity than the government. And that's basically the same thing. We're first century Christians being persecuted because we don't fall down and worship the almighty state, the imperial government. So I think there's a lot of religious ties in the hatred directed toward the people of the South or conservative people or Trump supporters or anybody like that that doesn't pay total allegiance to the almighty central government. And I'm sure Monica's seen a lot of that going on in Canada as well with Trudeau and some of the things he pulled.
Absolutely. I mean, we've gone completely communist in this country, completely. And I think it's important to always, you know, draw attention, connect the dots to who is behind all this. I mean, it's that group of people you're not
yes.
allowed to criticize, lest we be
yes.
called anti-Semitic. And you talked about the laws that are being passed in Tennessee. I mean, we've got laws basically everywhere that are being passed that you are not allowed to point out facts because they call that being anti-Semitic. So
exactly.
if you just point out facts.
Well, people, dear Miss Monica, dear Brother Gene, we've really run completely out of time. I would just like to chime in. I've heard a talking head from Washington say that Putin may, the sorry dog may resort to an atomic bomb. I'd like to let people know the United States of America is the Yankee government is the only government in the world that's ever used the atomic bomb, the only government in the world that's ever executed their prisoners by gas chambers. Miss Monica, thank you so much for coming over tonight. Gene, thank you so much. Jay and Aaron and Cameron, thank you for broadcasting the show. All of our wonderful, wonderful people, Nancy and Rand. People, once again, just to remind you, next week will be a recorded show. God bless you, and have a happy Dead Yankee Day. Good night, everyone.